Today I will be looking at another parable, and this parable is often called the parable of the cost of discipleship. So my title, my message is Counting the Cost. A few years ago we purchased the house that we're living in right now, and we knew that when we purchased this house that we were going to do some remodeling. We were going to have to fix a few things. And so we knew that when we bought this house that we were going to do some work to it. One of the things about remodels and things of that nature, sometimes plans change. Sometimes with remodeling, you run into new problems that you didn't know were there. Have any of you been there? New problems arise, and since things are torn apart, might as well upgrade a few things too once you've got things torn down. There are many unknowns until you start ripping down and tearing apart. This is both the exciting part, ripping down the old, and you look forward to the new, but you also find that in the process of ripping down the old, that those unknown or new problems, they need to be dealt with, adding to the cost. Counting the cost of a remodel may not always be that easy. You can count the cost of the things that are visible, the known things, but sometimes those unseen things can be more costly than what you could plan for. Not to mention if you wreck something and weren't planning to wreck it, now you have to fix it. A couple of weeks ago, Cal was teaching the adult Sunday school class, and he even discussed a particular question. He asked the question, what is the cost of being a Christian? What is the cost of following Christ? What's the cost of being a disciple? Now, before anyone gets worried, you don't need to pay money to come to church. So just because you see like Stanley Free or some other free church, it doesn't mean that you don't. It's free, anyways, but there isn't an admission fee, so don't run off. Yet on a serious note, Jesus came to minister and save us from punishment that we deserve. A few weeks ago, I talked about Jesus coming to serve and not be served, even though he's the Son of God. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We saw that when we looked at the parable of the seat of honor, we looked at that. But at the end of this verse, it says not only did he come to serve, but he also gave his life as a ransom. What is the cost of me following Christ? It cost Jesus his life. The cost for me to follow Jesus was that he gave his life. That's what it cost him. You notice this verse doesn't say that Jesus' life was taken from him. Jesus willingly gave his life for you and for me. Ransom means that he gave his life for a life. He gave his life for my life. He gave his life for your life. It is a life for a life is what he gave. Romans 5:8-9 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Jesus loves us so much that he gave his life to save us while we were yet sinners. While we didn't deserve it, Christ died for us. While we were being rebellious against God, Christ died for us. The cost for our salvation, the cost for our sins, the cost to give us hope, the cost of eternal life with Jesus. What it cost is that Jesus would humble himself and become a man. He would endure the limits of humanity and endure persecution. He would endure torture and even endure death on the cross. So as we look at the topic of counting the cost, we know that the ultimate price of salvation has already been paid when Jesus went to the cross. So the ransom has already been paid in full, whether some accept his gift of life or not. Jesus paid in full. Jesus isn't going to force anyone to receive his gift. If we put our faith in Jesus and follow him, it's ours. If we reject it, then we will be judged according to our deeds, which will always, always fall short. We cannot earn salvation. Jesus is the one who paid it in full. So if Jesus gave his life as a ransom to give us that eternal hope, what is the cost to us? I said we just follow him, we receive his gift, but what does that cost? So that's where we're going to begin in our scripture and our parable today, looking at that, counting the cost. So if you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 14, we'll be starting with verse 25, Luke 14, 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. And turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." I'm going to stop right there. Yes, you read that correctly. Doesn't really matter if you're in the King James Version, NIV Version, NASB, ESV. It all says the same thing. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you'll need to hate your father, your mother, your wife, spouse, or I should say wife, husband, children, siblings, even your own life. What's all that about? So this is one of those parables that it's good to study. Is this like the fine print that you would encounter in a contract? Does this really mean we need to hate our families, our loved ones, and ourselves? So Jesus tells us to love and pray for our enemies, but then he turns around and tells us to hate those who are close to us? See, I'm right there with you. I too struggle with the wording of this, but in a moment we'll see and hopefully understand better what Jesus is telling us. But before I get there, I want to remind you that Scripture never conflicts with each other. In the times that it appears to conflict, we need to really take a closer look. So looking at another Scripture, we can see this compared in comparison to our scripture that we're reading today, John 13, 34 through 35, "A new command I give you, love one another, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." When we look at this passage, your love for one another is a visible sign, a visible fruit of being a disciple of Jesus. Love. Is this a new command that Jesus is giving? He's telling us it is. We know that from all the way back to the law, the law of Moses, that we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. But Jesus is giving us what appears to be a new command. Jesus is saying, don't just love each other as you love yourself. Jesus is saying to love each other as Jesus loves. That unconditional and sacrificial love seen in Jesus is what is to be seen in our lives as a disciple. But then we get to our passage today saying that to be a disciple you need to hate. Kind of tough. So if that is not really what Jesus meant to say, we know Jesus has called us to love and care for each other. Many other scriptures point us to that same point. What then is the message Jesus is trying to convey? We know that this isn't a literal understanding, but there is a message when it comes to the cost of discipleship. So let's read on in Luke 14, starting with verse 28. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able, with 10,000 men, to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Jesus is speaking of counting the cost. If you were to build, would you not first see if you can even afford the work that you want to do? Now, many of us would think that we can build a little here and a little there as we can afford it. But if you begin building, let's say, a house, and you only get the lower half finished, but no roof or no walls on the upper portion, not only would people think that you were foolish, but you would also be exposing what you had finished to the elements like rain, snow, wind, and that would damage and destroy what you had done. In the end, what it cost you will be for nothing. Now, none of us are kings and none of us have kingdoms, but the idea of war is not something foreign. The cost of war has a high price tag, even if you know that you can win. The cost of equipment, the cost of travel, the cost of combat, and most of all, the cost of lives, and the impact of those lost lives on the families of those in the country they're from. War has a high cost. So Jesus is trying to help his listeners understand the cost of building, but also the cost of other things, saying, take a moment and think about what the cost is. Jesus makes it clear that there is a cost of discipleship, a cost to follow him. Verse 33 says, in the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has, let me say that again. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Did you know that? Were you aware of the cost of discipleship? Was everything you have? Some of you might be thinking, no. I still have a house, I still have a car, I still have things. Does this mean that we're to get rid of everything that we have and live like a monk who makes a vow of poverty? Does this mean since we have things that we cannot be a disciple? See, hopefully I'm giving you enough questions to get you thinking. Hopefully that this scripture will trigger something in you wanting to know more. That's what parables are meant to do. Not only deliver truths in ways that we can understand, but make us want to know more and dive in. At the beginning, we're told that we need to hate our loved ones, including ourselves, and now we're told we need to give up everything in order to be a disciple of Christ, and we're told that this is the cost of discipleship. So let's tackle these. We know that Jesus was performing many miracles, and he was doing great things, and he was teaching, and there was quite a large crowd following Jesus. You see, these people were kind of smitten by what Jesus was doing. They were seeing miracles happen. They're thinking, this is great. If I need something or I want something, just ask Jesus and he'll just give it to me, right? See, Jesus is, he's glad that he's got a good crowd of people following him and listening to him. See, these people loved what they saw. Yet Jesus was wanting them to clearly understand that to follow him, there is a cost. His ministry is not just catering to everyone's wants and desires. He isn't wanting followers who follow him just to get things or get miracles. He's wanting followers who are going to be committed to what Jesus is saying. He is wanting committed followers who will be there through these great times, yeah, but also through the tough times, the ones who are committed. He doesn't want part-time followers, the ones that only follow him on a Sunday and then they follow the world the rest of the week. He's wanting fully committed followers of him. He doesn't want just bits and pieces of you. He wants all of you. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. See, this passage is about not being able to serve two masters. Now, I realize the context of this verse is dealing with wealth, but we are seeing that wording, love and hate, together. We're seeing those same wording here, same language as what we have in our scripture on the parable. That language that we see of hating our family and even our own lives. But the bigger question is, who do we serve? Who do we serve? Do you serve Jesus? Do you serve him as he's your Lord and Savior? If so, then you cannot be devoted to anyone or anything else in the same way. To follow Jesus, to be his disciple, means that you are committed to Jesus above everything else. There is not one thing that you will be devoted to more. Yet, it's tough when we see that verse in Luke 14:26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. I realize the wording is difficult there. I find it easier to understand this verse, that word hate, by putting in the word love less in comparison. It's really loving less all of these things in comparison to your love for Jesus. You see, none of us would ever want to see hate in our families. But following Jesus may result in having to make a choice between Jesus or family, or Jesus and our own life. Jesus is saying the cost of discipleship is full commitment to him, even if family turns against us because we're following Jesus. Jesus says that even if your own life is in jeopardy, you are to choose Jesus. Now, we don't really see persecution much here. I realize that. It might be coming. Seems like we're on track for it. But here, what we're seeing that Jesus is saying, there's a time that it may cost us family. Love less in comparison to Jesus. If you think about your love for Jesus and your love for you know, I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my parents. But we're kind of getting an image of where Jesus is and compared to all those things. I can't imagine loving my wife anymore, but Jesus saying the love for him is much higher. That's the level of commitment that we are to have to Jesus. Nothing should be... And when it comes to loving things, there's nothing that we should not be willing to give up in our discipleship of Christ. Giving up things, giving up dreams, giving up desires, those all fit into that same category. This brings me back to where we started. If we follow Jesus, then we must be willing to sacrifice as Jesus did. He gave us His life to pay for our sins. He gave us His all. In following Him, are you willing to give Him your all? That's the cost of discipleship. Though many are blessed with loving families who serve Jesus, others are blessed with wealth in order to serve the Lord through different areas or different means. Still, no matter who we are or where we are in life, our love must be devoted to Christ. And if anything gets between us and Jesus, we must always choose loving Christ more and loving everything else less than Him. We may lose friends, we may endure persecution, we may be asked to give up things or wealth. Yet I wanted to point something else out. In our tremendous love for Jesus, are we not also going to do what He asks us to do? Loving Jesus also means following His word. We're told to honor our fathers and our mothers. In loving Jesus, will we not do that? We're told as husbands and wives are to love each other and respect each other. In our tremendous love for Jesus, will we not also do those? To love our spouse? See, the cost of discipleship is full commitment to Jesus, even when life is tough. So, now you know the cost. What are you going to do? And discipleship is a lifelong journey, and there will be many unknowns, just kind of like ripping down walls in a remodel. There's going to be unknowns. There's going to be things that we run into that we're not sure of. And when those things happen, if our commitment is there with Jesus, it really doesn't matter, because we'll still be choosing Jesus. And the cost for us right now may not be that much, but in a week, your life may be turned upside down. It may cost. If relationships are broken because of following Him. See, Jesus gave us His all. Will you do the same for Him?